Center. I'm glad that Corey Golden has come and publicized what the center is doing. And it's good for us as commissioners to know about that. Also, the technology workshop that Pearl was mentioning, that was what the subject of the communication from the list was. And I'm hoping I can participate in some of that. I'm not altogether sure, but I like knowing about those things, not only so that we can know about them ourselves, but so that we can pass them on to our constituencies. You know, Bill mentioned that he is the American Council of the Blind representative on the commission board. I'm the designee of the National Federation of the Blind, and it's good for us to be able to know these things to get them out to other consumers as well. And of course, things, information like the auditing situation, and hopefully we will get a positive response to that. But we as consumers need to see to it also that the powers that be know that these kinds of things are part of what makes it possible for us to have a high employment rate. It isn't just learning Braille or key travel, important as those things are. It is at least as important to know that it's respectable to be blind and to really believe that and therefore feel like you can go out and make your place in society as an equal. And I think that those kinds of things, going out and doing the laser tag, I've done that, by the way, it'd be kind of fun. And things like that are a lot of what convince people, hey, I am okay. I can do this. I can do everyday kinds of things. And so we just need to not let them take that aspect of training away, not just from the orientation center, but statewide in any aspect of training. And also, I know that you didn't mention it in your report, Pearl, but we did get notified as we have asked for it, and we do appreciate it when there are staff changes. You know, the good one being the Dave Robinson's change of position and responsibilities and that kind of thing. The bummer being Jim Portillo going to Washington State. I mean, I suppose that is a good thing in the overall sense. I hope things go well for him and everything, but it's always a bummer when we once again find ourselves in a position of needing to find people to replace good people and that kind of thing. So, but we do appreciate being notified.
Barbara, if I can jump in.
Sure.
Thank you for saying that. I forgot to do staff updates, and I'll tell you, we are so busy and there's so much going on that it's sometimes hard to figure out which things to tell you and not talk all day, but I should have given staff updates. And we are sorry to lose Jim in the Omaha office. We're delighted to have the North Platte office and actually whole district finally fully staffed. Lynn Miller, who is here today, is our latest addition and is doing great. And what date did you actually get into the office from your training?
The end of May.
So the end of May, she...
May 27th.
Okay, thanks. That's a huge relief. It's been quite a while. And of course, Omaha has been, was finally fully staffed for the first time in years recently, and then Jim Portillo got this great opportunity to go west. So we have that challenge in Omaha again now. What am I forgetting? Anything else of the staff updates? I think those are all. But anyway, there is so much going on. So, and I should have mentioned that proclamation too. Probably other things too. So, thank you.
And we do continue to get the center evaluations, and we appreciate that information, and we'll want to continue to interact with people about their experiences, and I encourage anyone here who has things to say to us, we're not far away somewhere. You know, we are consumers ourselves, and we really do want input, whether it be positive or constructive criticism. By positive, I meant, you know, congratulatory or that kind of thing. Or if it is constructive criticism or suggestions as to how things can be done differently, we really need that. I know the commission staff welcomes it, so do we as commission board members. And we were certainly glad to get the information that, you know, the rule had been submitted, and hopefully that will go through and it can become official. And things like the fact that people can get pay stub information now over the net accessibly, that's important for us to know the work that all of us do on trying to make internet things more accessible pays off in that way. I was wondering if we have anybody, we got the information about the call for papers on that conference on residential centers for the blind. Do we have anybody going to that in November?
Yes, we don't have an exact list yet, but we possibly will send all of our center staff, myself, at least one of our deputy directors, who in fact has been asked to be a keynote speaker. Carlos Servan will be speaking at the luncheon one day. And we have a number of staff who are presenting proposals to give workshops. And at least one, I think most of the center staff are presenting proposals, as well as some field, and I'll be presenting or submitting a proposal anyway. I'm on the planning committee for that, and it really looks to be a very excellent opportunity to share best practice with other states and hopefully make a difference in how some other states do business too.
Yeah, it sounds like an exciting thing.
I think it will.
And when we got the information about the consumer price index, that urban thing, are we one of the 37 states that's below that percentage for the reallotment thing, or is that irrelevant to us, or I wasn't quite clear.
I'm drawing a blank. Let me think.
So they said that when the reallotment is happening, that the first priority would go to the...
Okay. Yeah. With reallotment, that's at the end of the, or toward the end of the federal fiscal year. States who are not able to match all money are required to send it back to the federal government. And states who could use some more can submit a request for having some funds reallotted to them. The past 4 years, we've requested additional funds and have received, most of the time, some additional funds. This year, we probably are not going to request any additional funds because we're pushing it to make to get our full match as it is. We certainly don't want to have to turn any funds back, and so we're not sure that we could reasonably match additional funds. So we talked about that not too long ago with the business manager. I don't know that we'll be looking at that this year.
Okay, because it sounded like it had to be specific kinds of requests that you would know you could.
Yes.
And with our state situation, you know, that probably doesn't help either.
Exactly.
And we, you know, the information about the, oh boy, the way they're going to parcel out the money this year, I really hope we can deal with the legislature on that stuff. And then the workforce investment stuff, I'm still trying to figure out what some of that one-stop business, how very good that is for us or whatever.
May I speak to that a little bit?
Yes, please do.
Okay. As you know, I sit on the state workforce investment board, and then we also work some with the other workforce investment boards. There's one for the Omaha area, one for Lincoln, and then one for greater Nebraska, which of course is huge, and it's one workforce area. So they've had a lot of trouble managing, you know, figuring out how to manage that, but they have set up a number of workforce or employment one-stop places around the state. We have memorandums of agreement with the Lincoln Workforce Board, which basically set forth that our numbers are so small, and most of the people who are looking for work and who are blind, their first stop is almost certainly not going to be the one-stop place. They're probably going to either just find a job on their own or contact the Commission for the Blind and, you know, get some assistance with training job placement and so forth. And so we work together with the one-stops in that we provide information to our clients about what's available, resources for job hunting in the state, and we also make sure that the one-stops have information about us. But as far as spending our tiny dollars on them having a reception area or having accounts one of our people at their facility doesn't make sense because, you know, we're out across the state, we're going to people's homes and places of business and training, and so we're not even in our own offices that much, we're on the road. So for the most part, we do have the agreement from the Lincoln area, and I think that we should have equal agreement from the other two areas of the state that we're just different. We are an employment program, it's true, but we're much more than that. And so I think they're neither going to hurt us nor be a great benefit to us either. But I think it's fine in Nebraska.
I have worked with Lori Lisko in the Lincoln office on dealing with their website for looking for jobs. Most people I work with have found Jobline over the phone to be a lot more friendly. I mean, this one is a pretty workable work site, or website, except their little basket thing for keeping track of stuff sometimes is something of a problem, but they have been willing to work on dealing with it and work specifically with people on it. Although one of the problems that we always run into with folks who don't end up working with people in an ongoing way is that if you work with one person and they begin to get it, and they may even know just a slight bit about jobs or whatever, if that person changes or if nobody comes in for a month or two, then whatever they may have learned is gone, and so you end up kind of starting over. And so that's another reason that it makes more sense for people to work with the Commission as their primary source, because you guys do it every day. But, you know, we all continue to work with them as we can to help that situation work. I also was wondering on the material we got about the older blind money possibly increasing, is that going to make any difference for us or not?
Unless the allotment formula, which is exceedingly complex formula, unless that is changed, our amount will stay the same. And there's quite a bit of pressure to change that formula. It makes no sense whatsoever, and it cannot be explained. Don't ask me to. And it's not fair. Some of the bigger states continue to get increases, and some of the smaller states stay the same. Or there were even a couple of states that got less, so it's really a crazy system. As it is now, that change will not change us.
Okay.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Can we take a short break? Party break.
Okay, now what does that do with our connection with Michelle? Does it mean, does it...
We could keep connected on the phone, and if Michelle wanted to stand up and leave the room for a moment, she could do that as well.
Okay. I have like 10:43.
Are you still there, Michelle?
Michelle?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That makes you go great.
We're talking about taking a 15-minute break.
Okay.
So I have 10:43, so everybody can synchronize whatever your time says, and that would be, you know, like 10:58, we will reconnect.
So don't hang up, Michelle.
So, yeah.
We'll just leave the phone connected.
I'm just going to lay the phone down and walk away a minute.
Very good. Send it over behind you. Not behind you, but to your right.
On the other side?
Right here again.
Dorothy?
Yep.
Okay. Good for you. All right, the next item on the agenda is the budget update.
One second. I'm moving the phone closer to... I had set it a little bit aside so the cord wouldn't be in people's way. Okay, now you're 3 inches closer, Michelle. I'm sure you can feel the warmth of our personalities.
I definitely can.
Okay, what did you say, Barbara?
The budget update, is what we're ready for.
Yes, all right. Okay, Barbara spoke to the special session that's coming up and the challenges that we have there, so I'll just say ditto to everything she said and emphasized. In general, our budget, I brought lots of figures to answer any questions you might have, but I will just kind of give you an overview first. Basic support, we track that based on the cost centers, that is the different offices, and then in Lincoln Center is one cost center, and Lincoln District is one, administration is another. The board is its own. So we do track things quite specifically. basic support is pretty much on target with our expenditures and our grant amount, and we're okay with the amount of match that we have. I might mention with regard to match, the state general funding does provide full match to the Vocational Rehabilitation Agency for non-blind disabilities. They provide the full match needed with actual cash from the state, whereas we don't get our full amount. And I'm sure you recall that we have to work hard to build the match from other sources. So, as Barbara said again, even without cuts, we really don't get our full match from state, and And so that hurts, but we're pretty much okay this year with what we have. The older blind program, we're needing to kind of figure out how to make that fit within the scope of the grant. The part of the funding is for some salaries for the amount of time people spend, the staff spend with older services to older blind individuals. And we've had some pay increases since the grant was written, and so we of course have to flex other parts of that grant to kind of make up the difference. But still, our main service that we provide is staff, the counseling and the training, that the hours that our people put in. So I don't think it's a bad thing, but it just makes it a little tighter for purchasing equipment and some other things, but that would be probably the main area. The transition program, we're in our second year of the five-year grant. One of the lovely things about the transition program is it's 100% federal money, and we love that. We have not spent as much on that as we had projected, but the needs are there, and we have no doubt that each year we will expend the full amount of that grant. And supported employment, we're spending more this year, but we had some carryover from last year that we were able to use. And so we have not spent very much of that this year, but we're identifying more and more people that have a need for supported employment. And part of why it looks so small this year is because we have spent money on people, but a lot of it was from the previous grant year. And our independent living is pretty much on target. We do also provide some of those funds for the Panhandle Independent Living Center from the previous year's budget. We're able to kind of carry over. And that gives a little bit of a cushion there for each year, so that helps. Let's see. We continue to slow but sure have receipts from Social Security reimbursement. And I neglected to bring that file with me today, but we currently have about $243,000 in that fund. So, and that also is fully federal. It reimburses what we have actually spent on people for training.
So that figure is what you received this year or have in the pipeline?
That's the amount that's in there. Some of it is carryover from last year, and I can't, let's see, I don't remember exactly the amount that was. I have that in that one file, which I didn't bring.
So are there some applications pending?
Yes, we have some more pending. And
those would not be counted in the 2.3?
No, we only count what we actually did get received and approved. But we, let me see if I can close this door. In the vacuum in the sound.
Now this may be a dumb question, but does that turn out to be a wash, or is there some in-kind that gets counted in that so that we can come out actually you know, with more cash in that transaction than...
The latter is the case, and partly because the Social Security reimbursement is 100% federal. It comes from Social Security Administration. And what we have spent on a person is going to be part federal, part state, maybe part in-kind. What they reimburse is, let's say we pay money for tuition and a training program so that you can achieve your occupational goal, that they repay dollar for dollar, what we pay to third-party providers. The amount that we pay our staff to do their work and, you know, the cost of running the commission to serve each individual, that's figured out on a formula. So it isn't exactly probably as much as we spend, but it's, you know, it's a fairly decent formula that it's figured on. The only thing that's really a disadvantage is that when we send people to centers for the blind elsewhere, when we have to pay a monthly amount, and if we did not have our own training center, we would have to send everybody that needed residential training someplace else. Okay, when we do that, we do get paid or reimbursed the full amount for those costs. But because the training center is not a third-party provider, it's part of our work, it's figured on that formula. So we actually, I was kind of talking with the director in Iowa, and we thought maybe it would be a good idea that we'll send all of our people to Iowa, and they can send all their people to Nebraska, and we'll be fine. But that is a disadvantage, and the way it's set up is both in the Rehab Services Administration reporting system, and it's also in the Social Security Administration reimbursement system. And so we have tried, you know, and have communicated to both of those entities, both as a commission and also within the, I'm a member of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. That entity is working on making a change in this. And also, I know that the National Federation of the Blind has had some conversations with the head of RSA to see about getting that changed. And I'm not certain whether that has been to the attention of National American Council of the Blind.
Yeah.
It has. Okay, great. So there are a lot of people aware of this as a real, you know, the states that where the state agency has the commitment to have a good training center and build their own center, we get penalized. And a lot of people do know that needs to be revised now, so we'll hope someday it is. So I hope that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure. Let me see what else I want to tell you. We all already we talked about the older blind increase that's recommended in the federal budget. Also, there is at this point it looks like there will be additional almost $83 million additional for nationwide for vocational rehabilitation in the basic support, the general voc rehab appropriations. But remember that extra money available is only good to the point that we can match it. So in addition to talking to your state legislators, I would really encourage people to talk to your federal legislators, encouraging them to fund the vocational rehabilitation program at these increased levels. And also, the biggest thing that really has been a problem, and that will be even more of a problem if we don't get our state funding, is the delay in the federal budget. The federal fiscal year starts October 1, and last year it was December before they actually had a budget. I think it was mid-December, but it was February before we got our first grant award. And that's 80% of our funding, 90% for the older blind. So it makes it pretty hard to buy groceries when you got a budget like that. So anything we can do to get Congress to to understand there are people trying to operate out here would be really helpful.
Well, and if the governor does that, well, hasn't he started that, wasn't that this month that 8% thing was going to start?
Yes.
So we won't be able to get advances from the state either, unless I misunderstood something.
No, you understood that exactly.
Oh,
and
boy.
So between now and October 1, which is about a minute and a half, I think,
yeah.
We're okay. But come the fall, what we've done in the past is when we haven't had the federal money, we've been able to get more of our state money, you know, kind of ahead of time. They traditionally get it out in quarterly amounts, but we've been able to get advances on the quarterly amounts because we've been able to document Congress has approved the budget, it's there, we just don't have it yet, and so they know that we aren't just, it's not because we're just spending all of our year's budget in the first month that we need more money. It's because we don't have our fiscal, our federal amount. But the proposal Barbara is talking about is if we, if the state goes to where you can only get 1 month at a time, if we only get our 20% 1 month at a time, we will have to make major changes when it comes right down to operations. So, what else would you like to know about the budget?
Well, on some of the stuff that we've gotten where it has talked about like operations, now operations, is that like administrative as opposed to direct services?
No.
I'm still sort of confused about some of
that. Yes, that's a good point to talk about. The state budget is set up in basically two boxes. One is operations and one is case services. And actually when I say state, that includes our whole budget, because once funds come into the state accounts, whether they're from the federal or whether they're from the $1 million that you decide to give us, it's state money. It's because it's in the state treasury, and so it is legally state funds. I lost my train of thought. Sorry, my
brain. The difference between operations.
Thank you. Sorry. the state has, they look at case services, I guess, a little bit like the Social Security reimbursement that I talked about. Case services is money we spend to third-party people on clients. Tuition, doctor bills, lodging, if you're in a, like when you come to the training center and we pay for your apartment while you're there. Or if you go to the Home Teaching Plus program in North Platte and we pay for your lodging and your meals. Those are all third-party, and they can be, you know, we have your case number on it and your name, and so that's tracked exactly to you, the individual client. Operations includes administration, leases, the cars, our phone bill, our paper, you know, all of that kind of thing that sounds like operations, but it also includes all of our salaries. All of the counselors and teachers that work throughout the state, that's called operations. And that's one of the points that we make to the senators, and we hope you will too, that a really major part of why we are so successful in results is because of the staff time that's done on a daily basis across the state. So, the actual direct services part of the operations budget is about 75% of that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or?
Right now, as far as looking ahead, this is, if we can't get the state to relent, then is there a contingency budget as to what would have to happen? If the state cut went through and we weren't able to reverse that?
Sure. There isn't anything on paper yet or on in any kind of written down electronic format, but definitely we've been thinking and having conversations about that, and in our management retreat we're going to discuss it more in depth. But I can tell you a couple of main strategies. One will be what we've done the last 2 years, and that is work like the dickens to get match from other sources, preferably cash match because we can spend that, but failing that or in addition to that, in-kind or third-party agreement match, because at least that enables us to get the federal dollars. So we'll work very hard to do that, and that's something we'll do even in good times, you know, budget-wise. That's a strategy we'll work on. The other thing is to try to find ways to minimize costs. And a couple things I can think of is, say, you know, we have our leases for our cars, which let us go everywhere. First step might be have people not travel as much. We still have to pay for the cars, but we wouldn't have the mileage on top of that, and our staff could do more on the phone. That would be an option. If things were radically cut, we're checking into whether we can get out of the car lease. You know, if we have to just not have the expensive cars, that would be something we could look at. That would again be better than not having staff, because at least people could do counseling over the phone, talk with people, keep in touch. You know, that would kind of be like.
Are these car leases just
with
the state or?
With the state, and actually, I remember now, Bill did just recently tell me that we could get out of that. They would reassign the cars to other entities. Obviously, that's not ideal, but it's better than having cars and not having staff. But truly, if it really came down to it, if we are pushed to the edge with our budget, we could very well be facing layoffs. You know, I mean, when 20% is the state, you just have to be realistic. And if, you know, so and it's difficult because with our leases of offices, you know, I mean, one option that we might think about is, okay, don't have offices and let everybody work from their homes. Get rid of that cost. But those are also leases, and they're with the state, and so, you know, it's not easy, and we need to come up with a number of scenarios. We've done a lot of things in the last 2 years in educating counselors, and I think also consumers about, you know, let's make sure we're really looking at what is needed, you know, and if you need something to achieve your occupational goal, we're going to do that. We're not going to pinch pennies to achieve the client's goals, but, you know, let's really make sure we're looking at it and you know, being aware of the funding situations. For example, in the center, they have, generally one activity a month, okay? Is the activity going to something that costs $25 a person or more, maybe for a dinner and a play, for example, or would it work to go to a free museum, you know, or go to the park? If you can find ways to have activities that still do the achieve the goal of getting the experience and so forth, but don't have quite the cost, you know, let's swap that out. And so, and with like groceries, are there ways we used to, well, and we still for groceries in the center, and some of this kind of, you can draw parallels to the field with some of these issues or strategies and thinking, but the center is just easier to kind of concisely talk about. You know, to pay groceries for the cooking classes in the center. Not the cheaper stores won't take the state, we don't have a state, you know, contract with them. And so we've ended up buying groceries at the more costly stores. Well, we're finding ways to rework that so we can maybe use those cheaper places. And so those are just a couple examples, but practically on every front. And maybe Candy would want to address some ways they do in the field. Those are just some examples. Can you think of anything else, Candy, that we kind of add to explaining that?
No, I'm still back on your thing about cutting the cart.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it
would be terrible. There's no question.
It would shut us down. It would shut services down on this end of the state.
Very definitely it would shut it down.
Well, but not having staff would really shut it down.
But if staff can't get to the phone.
Right, they'd be on the phone. I mean, it would definitely not be good. And I'm not saying this as a good option at all. I'm saying if we are faced with huge cuts, you know, and we look at, you know, administratively, I'm not saying we just look at services, and not now either. I mean, we've already made a lot of changes within, you know, administratively. What can we do differently?
It's a whole new way of thinking, I think,
yes,
that our staff has out here than 4 or 5 years ago. We are just under a different thinking, you know. It's use every piece of paper, use, you know, look at every option for replacing any equipment. We're getting clients more involved. Every single thing that we do is money-oriented, which is the way it should have been. I mean, it should be done that way all the time.
Right.
But we are tremendously more conscientious about that. And we have a lot of clients that will say, well, you used to take care of this or that. And we say, you know, we're operating under a different situation now than we were. So, and clients have been very good about that as well.
I've talked to other people in other states that have a telephone, and it does not work. I brag about Nebraska's good services.
Well,
and
tell
it
that.
It does not work.
I agree, and you got to tell that to your senators.
Yes, who is this that's speaking up about that?
We're long distance away from our county. This is Fort Lawrence.
Okay.
And I'm 20 miles away, and a lot of them are a lot further than that, but the counselors have to come. And if a big hand that came into my home, when the counselor started with me, I was on the verge of suicide. I even had it lined up for it. And Jen Bryant came, and for a while she came every week, and she brought me back to being on her grad anymore. But anyway, regardless of that, if she hadn't have done it on the telephone, I would not have paid attention. She came in and I told her, you're my PP person. She was patient with me, and she was persistent with me that I can still do all these things that I've done for 70-some years, okay? I'm back to doing it now, and I am teaching sighted people to make quilts, which is really, I'm teaching sighted people, and so they're teaching me, I'm teaching sighted people.
That's wonderful.
But see, if they wouldn't have came into my home on the telephone, I would have blocked them out. Anyone would.
Right, and I couldn't agree more. There's no question that the changes, that if we had to make things like that, you know,
I would think it should be one of the last ones you should cut.
Mm-hmm.
For our section, now your section, you're closer, you can get together, a lot faster, up down the western part, and like Candy has, but even further west, it's further miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we need all the systems.
Yeah.
I have told a lot of people from the state department that. And I really think Nebraska, as far as eastern part of the state, ends at Kearney. And out here, we just pay the taxes. And I truly believe it.
You know, and that's one thing that I really pride the commission on, because we are different than most state agencies in our statewide thinking. We really do, and we make sure that we provide the same kind of services across the board. Because I'm very conscious of that, and I think it's very important.
You do a great job of it, but I'm sure.
I would too, but I would hate to see staff go. And even at the administrative level, if we really, we're not like some agencies that have grant writers and planners and a separate personnel person. Our personnel manager pays all the bills, you know. We don't have much support staff. Anyway, it at all levels. We would look at what, you know, we do, we have two deputy directors. Well, one covers voc rehab, which is huge, and one covers older blind, supported employment, deaf blind, and anything else. And as well, grant writing, which is huge. But, you know, maybe we could get by with one. You know, we would look at everything if we had to. But what we want to convince the legislators of is, don't make us have to. We really are already a skeleton crew.
It's probably our fault out there that we have to go up and say, hey, we're out here.
And really, I can't say strongly or forcefully enough that really is, we're hearing you as the commission board, and we're very glad you're here and making that point. Please do make it to the legislature, because they are going to be making those decisions. And I think Don Peterson out here has been pretty responsive. And the other legislators from this part of the state can be, especially if they hear from people. So please do make that known. You know, the kinds of cuts that are going to be talked about and how tremendously negatively that would affect you as a person. You know, what you just now said is compelling.
Yes.
And they need to hear it. You know, we'll certainly make it a part of what we talk about. You know, I talk to those guys often, and I will certainly let that be known when I talk to them. But when they hear from somebody from their district, from their area, that really makes the most difference. That is what really swings votes. You know, we have the good news and the bad news. The good news is we only have 49 people to influence. The bad news is we only have 49 people to influence, and they do not have, we don't have two houses, so they can't. We can't try to get one half of them to influence the other half or whatever in that way. But we still can do it. And the fact that, there are not that many of them means that we can get to all of them more easily. So we really, you know, I don't want to get too carried away, but we really do need
it's
to.
It's hard not to.
It's really not going to hurt me or the ones of us that have the train. And I'm thinking of those, you know, the others. And they're not all working for people.
Well, a lot of people that don't have the training don't have the confidence to contact their state senator. And,
right.
You know,
right.
The people that do need to contact them. And you know, some of the stuff is healthy. I mean, some of the things that Pearl was mentioning about, you know, groceries. I mean, you know, it makes common sense to get the groceries as cheap as you can, and you know, have the students. I mean, a lot of people look at the sales that come out on Wednesday and they plan their meals around that the next week. You know, that's you can accomplish a lot of the same things with less money, and those things you should try to. But some things, like we're talking about the transportation, there's no good substitute for. So if you do the things that you can't substitute or can do differently, maybe it frees up some money from the things that you can.
Now, one of the biggest jobs of the commission is to give people a hand up. And once someone has received a hand up, then it seems really not only prudent, but reasonable and even necessary for then that person to give a hand up to the next one. And that's a lot of what we're talking about when we deal with the legislature. Is, you know, we are speaking on behalf of people who don't know yet that it can be okay.
I agree with that, but I grew up in an era where there was not a handout. If I had that bread and tomatoes, I ate it and thankful I had it. I have never in my life accepted a welfare check, and I don't intend on it if I have to eat beans or a piece of bread.
Well, I hope you didn't misunderstand. I didn't say a hand out. I said a hand up, which is a totally different concept.
But yeah. You know, if I can speak to that too, I think one thing that's really important about our program, and often when a newly blind person contacts us, they, and sometimes the legislators, I think this too, they confuse us with being a handout. And I've had people say to me, I don't want your training because I'm independent. Well, but you need the training to stay independent, and you know, you don't go to college because you're ignorant or dumb. You go to college because you've got great capacity and you can learn more. And the training that we provide can help you to use the capacity that you have. So educating people.
I'm very thankful for everything.
Right, we appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Rag Jan Bryant up high and up. She is super, even if she was not a good person.
Dr. Pearl?
Yes, sir.
Are we currently right now running basically on a bare bones budget?
Could you introduce yourself for the
My
board?
My name is James Shemeza.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
In some sense, we're running on a bare bones budget. I guess it depends how you define it. Our budget could certainly be a lot more, and we could put it to very good use. However, I think that I don't think that we are not providing anything that really is needed by any individual to achieve their employment goal. Or their independent living goal. We're not holding things back that really are crucial to those goals because of funding. So, you know, we're trying to be as efficient as possible given the funding that we have, but could we effectively use a lot more? You bet we could.
But isn't it fair to say that some of how we're surviving budgetarily is using, you know, one-time grants that are, you know, running, you know, that are going to go away, and we're using that money. And if you took took away the one-time grants, then that'd be a different, everything, what you said would be different, then it would be in a dire situation.
Well, in a sense, that a piece of that is true, that we've tried to not have the grants kind of pay for things that we should be doing anyway, because of the fact that then when it's gone, you know, what are we going to do? We've tried to have the grants be more of building infrastructure. The older blind grants, that's an ongoing thing. We don't have to worry. In fact, that now is, it's not a competitive grant. It's ongoing, just like the regular voc rehab is. The transition grant, that is specifically a five-year thing, and the one thing we used to pay for out of the basic support voc rehab was the transition coordinator, the Lincoln position. And so when we lose the transition grant, we'll have to, you know, make up those funds. But the three transition counselors, those are new, and we won't be able to continue those people. They understood when they signed on this was a five-year grant job. Nationally, people are trying to get funding for transition to be ongoing, but right now it's not. Anyway, what we've tried to do with the transition program, with especially what those staff do specifically, is that they are really working with public school districts to establish infrastructure that school districts know about the commission, and they know that when they have a child that's 14 and enters transition age, instead of waiting till 2 months before they graduate high school, if they have a visually impaired student, to get in touch with the commission. They don't have to contact a transition counselor if we go past when we have those. You know, the commission will still be here. So we've tried not to have the grant programs be things that then is going to be a huge gap when it's gone. The diabetic education, if we get that, you know, again, that'll be training medical professionals. There will be a bunch of it that will go to providing the counter doses and the insulin gauges and such to diabetic consumers, and then there won't be that money anymore. But, you know, at least a part of each grant is trying to educate the people, the consumers, and the professionals in whatever that area is, so that we don't have to be the only one that knows blindness. Does that help?
What about the deaf blind grant?
Okay, yeah, that's the way that one was set up was actually designed very wisely. Helen Keller National Center requires for their grant funding, the first year is, I think, 90%, or maybe it's 80% from Helen Keller and 10 or 20% from the state. Second year, it's the proportion changes. It's over about 4 or 5 years. I can't think right now what's exactly right. But by the last year, it'll be, say, 80% the commission funding and 20% from the Helen Keller. And so that what has forced us through the period of the grant to build within ourselves that position. And so, of course, that's a lot easier than all of a sudden being at the cliff of the five-year point and either ending or having to do the whole program ourselves.
And so we are finding ways of
yes,
doing
that's,
that.
Yes, that's part of why, you know, the increased emphasis on finding match and so forth. And I'm really hopeful that with friends of the commission, and also as individual people learn that we do accept donations and bequests and memorials, And actually, we've gotten a lot of memorials in this past year. As people realize we're a source that they can contribute to in a non-taxable way, that's a way for people to give back, like to their college foundation or other entities that have helped. We're delighted to accept donations directly from people, too.
So I'm wondering, does any of the staff have time to look for grants? I know when I was in the UN, the library had a whole set of just volumes and volumes of books where you could find grants. And I know CAPOC Foundation offers a nice grant for, say, a staff person who works with a minority group and they're still in college.
Yes, various ones of us have done grant writing, myself and Bob Beaton, most exclusively. And then recently, Bob presented a one-day workshop to 12 staff about grant writing. To learn about...
Looking for new grants?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have our eyes open all the time for possibilities. And if anybody, the public or the...